We're in the book of Amos this morning, if you'd like to turn there. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, and chapter 3 of Amos. Also, next Sunday, all the youth are invited to our place again for an afternoon. So that'll be after this church next Sunday. We'll have lunch at our place, and then we've got some inner tubes. We'll hope the river's up a little bit. You can float down the river and do whatever you want to do, but that'll be at our place next Sunday after the service. Also, young people, please begin getting the time off work, setting the money aside, whatever you need to do to attend youth camp, 24 to 28 April. You older ones, we need you as leaders, please, as team leaders, dorm leaders, and other leaders. So please plan to be involved in youth camp 24 to 28 of April down in Otaki, of course. Amos chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it?" And so, I'm going to entitle the message, "Can Two Walk Together?" Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd use your word in our hearts this morning. I thank you for the privilege to assemble and to open it together. And now may the Holy Ghost take it and, Lord, do miracles in our lives. Lasting changes. We come to you expecting to hear from you today. We want you to bless our service and meet with us now. And we ask this in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That verse 3 is a very commonly quoted verse. And typically people use it to talk about friendship. And that's okay. But you can see now that the context of the verse has to do with God and His relationship with His children, the nation of Israel. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You see that there in verse 1. He says, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt." And so God is specifically speaking to His nation, His children, if you will, this family of Israel. And He says in verse 2, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth." What a beautiful saying. God is saying here that He chose Israel. They didn't choose Him. He chose them to have a very special relationship with Him as His chosen people. That has never changed and never will change. As we've seen in our prophecy study, how God has so many plans for Israel in the future. Many of them have not come to pass yet. He's not finished with them. But He's constantly in the Old Testament using His prophets to cry out to them and say, "Please come home to me." Because they are His special children, and He has a special relationship with them. If you would, look in Deuteronomy chapter 7, just to emphasize this point about God's relationship with Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and look at verse 6, if you would, please. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6. That's why you're not hearing me on this mic, because the light's flashing. This isn't working, is it? I think the battery's dead. So, where's my wife? Could you grab me some batteries, please? Double A's, two. All right, so notice Deuteronomy 7, 6. "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." Notice who chose who. He says, "The Lord thy God hath chosen thee." God chose Israel. God says, "I am going to make a new thing. I'm going to make a new nation. And they're going to be my people." Now, as we think about that this morning, thanks, sweetie, I want us to think about our own relationship with God. Because God started something new with the church, something that He had never done before. He chose a people to become not only His chosen nation, but He chose a people to become His children in a different sense. We are now joint heirs with Jesus Christ when we're born again. Is that working now? It is. Good. We are now part of God's family. We're not part of Israel. We are part of God's family. We are His children. He has chosen us. The day we were born again, He chose us to have a special relationship with Him. Look at Romans chapter 8, if you would, please, and verse 16. And this is so precious to think that the Creator of the universe would be interested in us, sinners, and yet not only interested in us, but love us enough to die for us on the cross and give us eternal life, but to go beyond that, to actually then enter into a new relationship with us. One that we didn't have before we were saved. A special relationship where we now have access directly to His throne. Notice Romans 8:16. For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. We become the children of God with salvation. We become, as we read there, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Turn over to Galatians, please. Just a couple of books to the right from Romans. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. And again, I want you to see this special relationship that we have with God. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The adoption of sons. The day we're born again, we're adopted into a new family, the family of God. We become children of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so as we reflect on this passage in Amos this morning, where God is speaking to His children that He has a special relationship with, we can apply it to our lives as well, because now we are His children and He has a special relationship with us. But now I want us to go back to Amos chapter 3 and understand that a loving father wants what's best for His children. And we talked about this at family camp as well. But notice what He says in verse 2. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Now you would think, if they had such a special relationship, why would God punish them? Well, because that's love. We just read that in Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, Jesus said to the church at Laodicea. Now God is saying to Israel, I will punish you for all your iniquities. First He reminds them, I chose you. You are my family. I have a special relationship with you, but you're not behaving properly. And I'm going to punish you. And you know, God says the same to you and I. He says in Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:11, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. God also chastens His children in the church. Not because He's mean, not because He wants to inflict pain on us, if you will, but because He loves us. He loved Israel enough to care, to send prophets, to warn them, to woo them back to Him, to chastise them if necessary, because He wants that relationship. And it's the same with us. And that's what this passage is all about. If you go back to it now in Amos 3, the verse that most people quote in relation to friendship, God says, can two walk together except they be agreed? So who's he specifically talking about? He's talking about himself and his children. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You got to understand that God created us for fellowship with himself. We see a glimpse of that in the Garden of Eden prior to the fall. Let's turn back there in Genesis chapter 3. We see something very beautiful taking place that hasn't taken place since the fall in this sense, and yet something that now takes place in a different sense for every one of us that are born again. And that is, we now have the privilege of walking with God. Notice Genesis 3:8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the garden, Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Prior to the fall, God would come down and literally walk side by side with Adam, and they would talk, and they would spend time together. It's hard for us to understand that because we see everything from the perspective of our sinfulness. But this is prior to there being sin in man. And God created Adam for fellowship, and they spent time together, and they talked. After the fall, that all stopped. No longer. But after the cross, we now have access to the throne through the blood of Jesus Christ of Almighty God. Isn't that amazing? We can now walk with God again like Adam did in the Garden of Eden. If you would, look in Galatians chapter 5 in verse 16. And the Bible even commands us to walk in the Spirit. Who is the Spirit? God. God the Holy Ghost. Notice Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're commanded to walk in the Spirit. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:16 to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can boldly approach Almighty God because of the blood of Jesus and walk together. Spend time together. We can talk to God as if He's our friend, because He is. Just as Adam did in the garden. And just as God wanted with Israel, but because of their sin, back to our passage, Amos 3:3, except they be agreed. Because of their sin, they couldn't walk together. And my friend, we may be born again, and we may have the blood of Jesus Christ, and we may have access to the throne of Almighty God, but we cannot walk with God as friend with friend except we be agreed. And that is the whole point of this passage. Israel no longer agreed with God. Look at some examples. Look at Amos chapter 2, just back one chapter, verse 4. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord, and have not kept his commandments, and their lies caused them to err, after the which their fathers have walked. Look at verse 12 at Amos 2. But ye gave the Nazarites wine to drink, and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. This was the attitude of Israel. Same book, same prophet. Their attitude was, they despised the law, and they said to the prophets, prophesy not. We don't want to hear God's word. They didn't agree with God. They didn't agree with His Word. God wants to spend time with us. God wants us to walk with Him in the cool of the day. But the obvious answer to all those other questions in verses 4, 5, and 6 about the lions and the birds and the trumpets is a big no. Two cannot walk together except they be agreed. And we cannot walk with God except we be agreed. So what does that mean? Well, let's go to Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 13 and understand that God wants to spend time with us. God wants to walk with us, but it falls on us to be, if you will, worthy of that walk. Habakkuk chapter 1, look down at verse 13. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. This is talking about God. Our God is holy. Our God is pure. And when we are unholy and unpure, we aren't agreed. Now, I understand that in Jesus we are righteous, we are justified, we're going to heaven, that's taken care of. I'm talking about our daily walk. When Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, and Peter said, "Not so, Lord." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part in me." And Jesus said, "Well, then wash my hands and my head too." And Jesus says, "No, just your feet." And then He went on to explain about how we pick up dirt as we're walking around in the world. And that needs washed off. And if we don't wash it off, we can't agree with God. We can't walk with a holy and pure God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No. God wants us to walk with Him, but we can't do it if we don't hate evil. We can't do it if we don't stay clean. Now, I know that we sin every day, but it's our responsibility to keep those short accounts with God, to confess our sins as we commit them, so that we can walk with God every day, which is what He desires of us. The Bible says, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil," in Psalm 97:10. But again, sin will hinder that walk. Look at Psalm 66, please, verse 18, if you would. And what does God desire of us? Fellowship. But above fellowship, God desires obedience. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. 1 John 5:3. God wants obedience so that we can have fellowship. Notice Psalm 66:18. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Sin hinders the walk. And we could just look at the garden and understand how that works. Every day God would come down and they would walk together. What changed? Why could they no longer walk together? God didn't change. No. Adam and Eve partook of the forbidden fruit. And sin came into their life. And now they could no longer walk with God the way they did before. We have one man come along later, a few hundred years later, named Enoch. The Bible says, Enoch walked with God. He was so close to God, it had never happened like this prior, or I don't even think after, that God decided just to take him on home. Now, it's not a coincidence, I think, that he was the seventh from Adam, and that he pictures the rapture of the church. Because someday, some Christians are going to just go. We don't have to die. Enoch didn't die. The Bible says God took him. He was not. But before that happened, it says he walked with God. Do you know what God wants us to do? Walk with him. Picture yourself in the garden with God. That's what he wants. But we can't have it because of sin. And that's our choice. Go to Isaiah 59, one other verse. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No. God never changes. God is holy. God is pure. God is righteous. We're the ones that change. The day we were born again, we were put into God's family. He is our Father now. He wants to fellowship with us. We have access to His throne through the blood of Jesus Christ. But we can't walk together if we're not agreed. And if sin is in our life that we've not dealt with, we're not in agreement with God. Isaiah 59, verse 2. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. What does God want? He wants us to agree that sin is evil and sin is contrary to God. The Bible says, he that loves the world is the enemy of God in James 4:4. How can we be God's enemy and walk with Him? We can't. So we're to hate evil and we're to deal with the sin as it comes into our life so that we can maintain that sweet fellowship. Now, this has nothing to do with going to heaven. I hope you understand. If you're born again, you're going to heaven. If you're not born again, you're not going to heaven. That's separate. We're talking now about children of God that are saved, but their fellowship with God is hindered by sin. And it is a fact of the Christian life that we must maintain short accounts. Now, we're not supposed to be like the Catholics teach, and once a week we go to confession and try to remember everything we did wrong during the week and make a list. It's not supposed to work like that. First of all, you don't confess to a man or to a manly priest anyway. You confess directly to God, because there's only one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. But second of all, we commit so many sins every hour and every day, we need to deal with them as they happen. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess it right away. Stop and confess it and get it dealt with so that you can stay close and walk with God. That's what God desires of each of us. Now, you can't walk with God if you're not saved. We saw that in Galatians 4. You must be a child of God to walk with God. If you're not saved, there is no walking with God, ever. And if you don't get saved, you never will. You'll get to see Him for a short time at the great white throne judgment, long enough to have all of your sins revealed from the books and then be cast into the lake of fire. But if you're born again, one day, imagine what that will be when we get to see Jesus face to face. And like Adam in the Garden of Eden, we will be able to walk next to Jesus. Imagine what that will be like. I can't even imagine what that will be like. But none of that's possible without salvation. But here on earth is not possible because of sin. Two cannot walk together if they're not agreed. Now, on a practical sense, it is okay to also apply this verse to friendships too. And, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but just look at one verse, Psalm 119, verse 63. We, as God's children, have a responsibility to also choose our friendships carefully. Because the Bible teaches that a friend can drag you down or a friend can build you up. It's your choice. David says here in Psalm 119, verse 63, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. David said, I carefully choose my friends. My friends are those that fear God and keep God's word. That's a good measurement of the kind of friends we should have. People that fear God and keep God's word. We're not to have best friends of the unsaved. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't be friendly. We're to be friendly to everyone. Paul said, I made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. But our best friends should never be unsaved people. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath light with darkness? God doesn't want it. So you can be friendly to the lost, but not best friends with the lost. It doesn't work. Light and darkness can't have communion, God says. But even in choosing Christian friends, choose a friend that you agree with. Choose friends that love God. Choose friends that love God's word. Choose friends that build you up. Iron sharpening iron, as Proverbs says. And if you do that, and be that kind of friend, by the way, be that kind of friend to others. So, our passage this morning, such a simple truth, and a verse that we hear all the time. Now we understand the context. Can two walk together except they be agreed? God is talking about himself and his children. And he wants to walk with us. It falls on us to stay clean so we can.